with the new director of Fermilab, Mike Witherell, to give you a real welcome. Last time I introduced him in this room, he was here to give a recruiting speech for Lamar. You better not do that again.
People did ask me whether I was continuing my research program coming here. Didn't know our field too well, but not a topic that might be a good idea. Hello and welcome to Fermilab for this workshop in V-Physics, the Positron. As some of you know, I have some special interest in this topic since I've been working, before my recent career change, I've been working in the field of heavy quark physics for about 20 years. From about 78 to 89, I worked at this laboratory studying charm with fixed target experiments. Actually, the first 5 years I spent looking for charm with fixed target experiments, I guess you could say studying it. Tom Herbel and I had a competition going on to see who would give more talks about not seeing charm. I had qualified myself as 691 and Tom won. then we realized that photon detectors realized that they were the key. We need to separate signal from the background. And it's been remarkable over this period of time to see the evolution from the first experiment to use the photon detectors with, as we have, the six detectors filled up to the large complex silicon trackers that dominate everybody's schedule today. There's no longer any question that we can get clean signals for charm for bottom in hadronic interactions. It's also interesting, I have some personal history. I led some, co-led some summer studies on studying beam physics of hadron colliders back in the period 84 to 88. Technical problems we were looking at then was how to trigger on decay modes that didn't have size in them, how to get the silicon tracker closer to the beam, how to design the silicon to get full coverage of the long interaction region, electromagnetic calorimetry and particle ID for low VT tracks at a high rate, and the data acquisition system. So those all sound pretty familiar. The fact is, we just didn't have the technologies at that time to do the experiments. That's a fact. And what's happened over the last 10 years is those technologies have become mature. Now they're actually being used to do experiments or being developed for experiments about to come on. It was clear even then, though, that the CP mode B to psi K short was finally chosen to trigger an hadron experiment. Clear that that was a miracle of the nuclear. The other thing that was interesting at that time was hard to get anybody from CDF or D0 at the SNOMAS 88 to spend any time looking at issues on beam physics. So some of you remember that. In fact, certainly Michael does as part of that. I was trying to organize a session on beam physics at hadron colliders, and the almost universal response from all but a handful of people in CDF was it's not worth the effort because there's no chance of doing that. So it was amusing a little later when the number of CDF talks on beam physics started with the preamble that nobody believes this could be done, but we showed the world. Rather sudden turnaround than that. So the Tevatron program has made great contributions to the knowledge of beam physics. The luminosity target for the next run at 210 to 32 is really what we talked about is ideal for beam physics at that time. Technologies are mostly available, and starting with the CDF and D0 upgrades and moving into the future, we have experiments we're going to make full use of that. So what we are here for is to look at what beam physics experiment measurements will contribute the most to our understanding and how well we can do on them here. I look forward to the output of this workshop, and we'll pay attention to it. I would like to thank you all for coming, though the turnout is very good as we fit to the promise in the physics. I would especially like to take the chance to thank Andreas Kohnfeld and Paul Spaghetti for doing the considerable work necessary to get this off the ground. So, thank you. Go